is Screen View with Peter Van, Amy Morgan, and John Denny. Fan us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Screen View Show, and join in on the conversation on Google Plus.
Hello and welcome to Screen View, episode 29 for July 3rd, 2012. What?
That's
messing with you. Oh, come on. It was the right number.
Okay,
knock it off.
Funny.
That's messed up.
29.
That is messed up. Episode 29, July 3rd, 2012. What is wrong? Jeez. So.
Just listen. Just look at the show notes and say if the show says it's episode this, then you'll know it's right. There you go. We don't know what we're saying in the middle of the show.
Yeah. Whatever.
Great.
All right, well, that was a good beginning. Thank you.
That's awesome. I'm watching a lot of basic cable shows, I guess. And what I want to discuss is there's a lot of newer shows or shows that have come up in the past couple of years that they've been advertising, you know, on USA or TNT or TBS or whatever, that there's a gimmick involved in a lot of these shows. And I don't see how these shows can have a sustainable future. And it doesn't seem like the shows are as good quality as shows that are on premium cable, like FX or AMC or even HBO.
Okay.
And it seems like, I don't know, it seems like these stations are willing to put up some money or not a whole lot of money for writers or you know producers or whatever to put a show together so they can get some viewers for original programming. But it seems like if you're the writer, you're like, I'm going to do this show that I don't really care about just to get my my name out there so that I can get on a network station and have a show over there. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Some of the show, I mean, obviously, Pete, you watch a lot of these, not a lot, some of these shows. Like you watch Psych and Burn Notice. You watched.
I did.
And like I watch a lot more of the premium cable shows.
Yeah.
Are you talking about shows like that are only specific to networks, like Mad Men and Game of Thrones and those type of shows, or
yeah, but like
regular programming that's on for everywhere.
Yeah, when we went to go see Avengers, they had a commercial for that show for AMC or ABC Family about dancers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like
the name of the show, but yeah.
Yeah, like I don't get it.
The hell. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like regular network smut for cable.
Right. And like I don't see how a show like that has any staying power.
See, so that raises a very interesting.
And we should have a discussion then. Are you pressing record?
Yeah, it's recording right now.
Okay, good. All right. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
No, it's fine. I think it's a pressing. I think that's a very, very interesting question because, there's a guy, I forget his name. He created the show. He created a couple shows recently. That didn't survive. He created the show. Lone Star. I think his name is Kyle.
You're gonna have to go Google it now.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look. I'm gonna have to Google it. But he created this show, and he said he essentially wanted the ability to create a cable show on network television. So you're saying like ABC show, you know, ABC Family or USA, that kind of shows. Cable doesn't need a lot of the ratings don't need to be as high in order to survive?
No, I get they don't have to be as high, but they have to be existent. Correct?
Right.
Like if you watch a show, if you like say you're a huge Seinfeld fan or Family Guy or whatever, and you know TBS runs those shows constantly.
Yeah, syndication.
Yeah. Now, an hour of that time slot is taken away for Monk.
An original show.
You know, right. For like, you know, obviously that show is come and gone. It's not on anymore. Monk.
Right.
Okay.
I know what you mean.
You're not going to watch it because you wanted to watch Family Guy.
Well, I think you're going about it a different way, because if it's an original programming, it's going to command more money in terms of advertisement, and that's where they would make more money.
Because if it's original programming, they're probably only going to allow it on their channel and nowhere else, right?
Versus, you know, I mean, the seventh hour of Big Bang Theory, you would make more money on, say, I don't know, whatever the TBS is coming out with. I don't know what show. Guys with issues.
Obviously, the shows that are in syndication have to be making more per viewer than original programming, wouldn't they?
I don't think so. I think it gives them more rep. Like previously, AMC would show spaghetti westerns for 12 hours of the day, and now everybody knows AMC because of Mad Men,
The Walking Dead, and Mad Men,
Breaking Bad, all these other shows, and it gives them more clout to get original shows. And it makes me
want to go out and get their channel because, they're not only just, you know, they're not just going to show old stuff that I haven't seen forever. They're going to actually show stuff that, I might actually be interested in that.
I
won't be able to see that anywhere else.
In the complete opposite camp, because when I was younger, I wanted AMC or TMC because they showed all these old movies that you don't get to see on other channels because they don't play them because they're so old or, you know, obscure or whatever. And now that I have it, obviously I watch Mad Men, I watch Walking Dead. So I'm glad that I had that channel, but that's not the reason that I wanted the channel in the first place.
Yeah, I wouldn't think that they still have all of those other things that maybe during the actual time in the evening or whatever they have their own original shows or whatever.
Actually,
wouldn't that bring that in so that they can actually function as a channel as well if they're not getting enough people to come and see the older stuff?
Since AMC has put on more original programming, a lot of their movies have become more mainstream movies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like they play a lot more of the Die Hard or Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood or, you know, whatever. But it's more mainstream movies and not so much the older movies that they used to show.
They used to show, yeah.
There's a lot.
AMC stood for American Movie Classics,
right? But there's a lot of companies that rebrand themselves, right? Like,
are they rebranding? Then is that what they're doing?
Yeah, I don't think AMC really wants to be considered American Movie Classics anymore, or it's not specifically television, but. You know, NPR used to stand for National Public Radio, and now they're just NPR. They don't call themselves National Public Radio anymore.
KFC.
KFC. Because now they sell grilled chicken, right? Or CNN.
Kentucky Fried
Chicken.
They don't actually call it chicken anymore. It's just KFC.
It's just stuff. Yeah. It's just whatever we feed you. CNN had one thing called specifically headline news, and that did nothing but headline news. And now they just call themselves HLN, and they're like, we're no longer headline news. And they're like, but you still are do the same thing. They're like, yeah, but we're doing new things. Right. And now they put on Nancy Grace for like 15 hours of the day versus news for 15 hours of the day, and Nancy Grace for 1 hour or something.
I get that shows. I mean, obviously Mad Men and Walking Dead and Breaking Bad are hugely successful.
Yeah, and AMC makes bank
they
on
make a
Walking
lot of
Dead,
money on
Walking
the,
Dead and Breaking
probably,
Bad. Because
they probably make more than they ever did with the old stuff,
exactly.
The old programming.
Exactly.
Compare that to USA, where they have a new show, or, you know, a show that's in its second season called
Fairly Legal.
Necessary Roughness.
What?
With Sheila from... what the hell is that show called?
The NBC show? Which one?
No. The Fire Show.
Rescue Me?
Rescue Me. Sheila from Rescue Me.
Okay.
Is on a show called Necessary Roughness on USA.
Okay.
And obviously that show it's never going to be as successful as Mad Men.
Right, but... So I read an article a while ago, and it has I will never be able to find it again, and I don't know who wrote it, but AMC doesn't make any money off of Mad Men. They actually lose a crap ton of money, mainly because...
But they get the viewers. I mean, they get money from advertising, right?
Well, yeah, but it doesn't help them break even because they pay Lionsgate. Like, it costs them $6 million, something like that, to make an episode, and four of that goes to Lionsgate or something like that. And the advertisement is not enough for them to break even. But Mad Men is such a critically acclaimed show that it gives them clout. And... They continue to make it
because it attracts attention to them.
They're able to make.
How could they survive as a company?
Well, yeah. They're able to bring in cash cows like The Walking Dead, and The Breaking Bad, other shows.
Eventually, I mean, that's a long term plan. But I mean,
but businesses, they gamble that kind of stuff. That's what they do. They gamble. Yeah. And USA,
you got to throw money into something before you actually get something back.
Right.
Sometimes it's very true.
The way things are today, a show can't be on for 13 episodes. And not make a lot of money, and still be on the next season.
True, that's what happened.
Mad Men
to
is
Terranova.
Exactly.
But what I'm saying is, when Mad Men
did make money,
programming right when Mad Men first came on.
I'm sorry. Say that again.
Mad Men first came on. AMC didn't have any other original programming, right?
Yeah, exactly. They landed a good one.
They were throwing obviously, but they're throwing money away on a show that wouldn't necessarily guarantee them anything in the future.
Well, I mean, that's...
It happened to work out for them, but it could be, you know, someone's head.
CEOs get fired left and right, man.
that's business for you. They'll take risks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Obviously, the CEO looks like a genius, but...
Yeah.
When you take a risk like that, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just saying, like, you can't expect to keep your job and keep taking risks.
No,
like that.
Absolutely, absolutely. You're right. Like, that guy who – the CEO of AMC struck gold. He made a huge gamble, and it could have essentially put the company AMC in financial straits and put it – you know, they could have filed for bankruptcy or kind of things, and he made a gamble, and it paid off.
Did put them in financial straits because they're losing money showing a show that they don't have any stake in.
Right, but now they're able to have – now they have two very well critically acclaimed shows that they own. They own The Walking Dead. They own Breaking Bad. They were able to go out and talk to creators and say, I want your show.
Look, we've been supporting Mad Men. We have an idea, you know, it's like you said, they have clout now that they have created a show. Even if they lost money on it, it's a show that they backed. And so that gives them, you know, people are like, oh, well, they backed it, and they seem to have really deep pockets, so let's go with them, man. You know?
Yeah,
you have to take risks to be able to make money.
It's not a same example. It's not an entertainment example, but it's similar to, like, a company that has a Halo product or a car company that has a Halo car. That car does not make a lot of money for them. They actually lose money on each of those cars. However,
something like Halo, the video game?
No. It's called a Halo car. So essentially, or a Halo product, which essentially it's like this company is known for X. I can't really think of anything. I could say, the Corvette for Chevy, right? Chevy is the Corvette. Okay. They don't sell a lot of those things. They don't necessarily make a lot of money, but people think Chevrolet. Oh, they think of Corvette. Like.
Yeah.
Okay, now I go see, I think of Corvette. Oh, let's see what other kind of cars they have. Same thing with, like, you know, for AMC, they're like, oh, well, Mad Men's losing the money. They go, oh, let's see what kind of other shows. And they're able to go and say, oh, while I'm watching Mad Men, they do commercials for Walking Dead or Breaking Bad kind of thing. And for USA, what they usually do a lot, they have a lot of mediocre shows that they bundle together for like a 2-hour power hour kind of thing, and it becomes like a power block. And people will just watch them. It's like there's nothing else on. Like, they usually, their series, they put their big series in the summer, like Burn Notice or their other show, which is really well received, Suits or Necessary Roughness. Like, they just kind of bundle them together. They're like, oh, Burn Notice and Necessary Roughness, they're together, like, watch this show and then watch this
during
show.
During a time when they have no other competition, which makes them really good.
Exactly.
And especially because, like, during the summer, there's nothing on right now. I'm not watching pretty much anything unless it's, like, a show that's only coming on in the summer. I'm not watching anything.
Right.
It's like, oh, there's nothing to watch. okay, I'll go watch this. You know, I know a show that's on that's coming out that I want to watch. So yeah, it's kind of smart if you ask me. Off season shows that do very good.
Yeah.
But like, just because there's something to watch doesn't mean you're gonna sit there and watch something that isn't the greatest thing to watch.
Hey man, just because you don't do it doesn't mean everybody else does.
I'm not. Yeah, that's true. Obviously, I have a different taste from somebody else. But
I mean, look at all these reality shows, right? I mean, like people just
how are they still successful?
There's nothing else on. You know, there's like, you know, I'm pretty sure
the shows are still on is because they cost nothing to make,
right?
And anything that they get from people watching is
profit.
Bonus,
essentially, yeah. Like yeah, overall profit, yeah, right.
Yeah, they don't have to pay them that much.
Yeah,
the people that show up, oh, they're not paid hired actors. We're just going to show reality as it is from these guys' point of view. Their perk is the fact that they get to be on television,
right? And the difference, I think, with, you know, going back to the original, what network and cable are different is that it costs less money for a cable television because they get money from the cable subscribers, right? Like your $50 a month, you know, your $50, like $20 of that goes to ESPN, but all the other money, you know, kind of goes towards other companies. So, say USA gets 50 cents from you, right, for each subscriber that Comcast gets. So they make money from there. So they're necessarily – their advertising budget doesn't need to be as much, right?
Versus, I get that.
Versus NBC, CBS, they make strictly off of profits of advertising. So they have to bring good shows, and they have to bring shows that are very strong.
Yeah.
Versus – like, and I think – like a couple good things that I started watching Hell on Wheels again. Like I actually went through the first season.
I thought you didn't like it.
I didn't. So I watched. I was like, I'll try it again. Maybe I'll like it. So I watched until the fifth episode. I stayed two more episodes in, and the fifth episode was good. And then found its legs, and I actually liked it. I actually liked it. It was a little uneven. But I liked it. Like it was like okay.
Kind of like how I started with Mad Men. I was like, I got through one season. And went, oh, I don't
took
know.
Took you three seasons to
finally like it.
It took you until Betty started shooting birds to like.
Right.
Yeah, I was like, she took out the shotgun, and started shooting the birds. It's like woohoo! Yeah.
So
what do you know? It was a woman with a gun.
Yeah, they're really
well,
slow. To
if they can do the, I mean, I don't know. If the show doesn't make it on network TV, how come these other networks like basic cable channels don't say, hey, just because it didn't work there doesn't mean it can't work here?
Maybe it has something to do with licensing. They won't like release a license, so they have to put
it. It happened with one show,
Monk.
Well, two shows then, Monk and Southland
and Cougar Town.
Well, Cougar Town hasn't worked here for Cougar Town, just going there.
How about Medium? I thought Medium it switched from one place to another as well.
They,
I thought
they switched from major network to major network.
Yeah, okay,
there was another show as well called Flashpoint, which was on CBS.
Oh yeah,
and it got renewed, and it got canceled by CBS, and then ION picked it up. ION Television picked it up, and now airs it for like 10 hours out of the day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
I never got to see that one. I wanted to see that.
Is this a show where everyone died for 2 minutes? Yeah.
Flashpoint? No.
They saw it.
No.
Flash
that's Flash
to
Forward.
The future.
Oh,
that's Flash
okay.
Forward. Flashpoint
okay,
is essentially every other CBS cop drama that you could expect, except for it's a SWAT team. And it's got.
Oh, yeah. The guy from Just Shoot Me.
And the only show. And the original Pink Ranger from Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Really? That's him?
That's her, yeah.
Her.
The girl, okay. Yeah.
That's too awesome.
I was like, hey, that looks like the girl from Power Rangers. But it is her. And yeah, so. It's very rare that it happens. Like they, you know, Terra Nova was one that they tried, but I think they just thought it's, you know, maybe Fox was asking for too much money or, you know,
or they
something like that.
If it goes too wild, then we're not going to be able to continue to do it. And so we're not going to, they just weren't willing to risk it. So
exactly.
But USA is owned by NBC, correct?
USA. Yes. It's a universal product. Yes.
So why wouldn't NBC say, okay, so this show is not getting a lot of ratings on this channel. It's not working out on NBC. But you don't need a lot of ratings to survive on USA. Let's move this program that's not working on NBC to USA, and maybe I'll have a life there.
I'm sure there's some sort of complication that works. maybe
and then that way,
able to shift
that way,
it over.
I mean, if the whole thing is about clout, then NBC or USA starts to get some clout with, you know, having programming that's actually worthwhile watching as opposed to Necessary Roughness, which is about a stupid football team psychiatrist.
Right, right, right. Well, I mean, it's great that, like, you know, that NBC canceled Southland and then TNT picked it up.
Right.
And surprisingly, it was crazily bizarre, but NBC was like, you know, this show won't work because Jay Leno's now at 10 o'clock.
Right.
And the second season was fantastic. They gave up on a fantastic show. And
no,
I don't know.
Bad, yeah.
I'm pretty sure NBC is kicking themselves because now they need to fill 10 o'clock now. But, I mean, you know.
What
now,
do they do, right? They let it go.
There were two additional seasons of Southland, and they were both really good. They were able to make some really, like, tightly well-done shows for 10 episodes. So maybe there are some shows that just don't make it, that are network shows that don't make it on cable. Like, I feel like there are less comedy-driven, like, sitcom, you know, driven shows on, you know, on cable channels and things like that. I think there's a different audience that likes alternative shows versus
I mean, and it was funny is I watched the new Men at Work show. I think it's on TBS.
Is that based off the movie Men at Work?
What was the movie Men at Work about?
It was that the one with all of the Sheen family in it. And they were like, all I remember.
Oh, no. They were garbage men?
Yeah.
No.
No, okay.
It's just the way, it's a regular, like a regular comedy, but it's got Hyde from That 70s Show on it.
Okay.
It's about these four guys that work together and, you know, dating and drinking and partying, whatever. And it's actually a pretty funny show, but, like, I don't know, it got me thinking of, like, okay, this is a funny show. Why is it not on somewhere else?
Right.
I don't know. That kind of stuff just baffles me where it's like, I like the show. It should be on network TV. I don't like the show. Take it off my television.
Yeah. I think there are different audiences when it comes to network versus cable television, I think. Like, all the shows on USA would no doubt not survive. Without a doubt, they would not survive on network television. They just, I mean, there are some USA shows that might do it, but I don't think that they would. They can't drag that premise long enough.
Right.
So. I do think that's a good idea. I think that was a good, like, it's definitely a good thing to ponder, though.
I mean, when you watch these shows, is the quality there? I mean,
yeah.
Do they have the money to get the good sets and have the good, designs and you know, costumes and all that kind of stuff, or does it look like this is what we did, this is what we have, and this is what we put together?
I think so, yeah, because 22 episodes for a network season versus 13 episodes for a cable season, right? If that. And sometimes USA does this, they pull this crap and I hate it so much. They do the we're going to make it a 16 episode season. And
oh, like Walking Dead.
Yeah, and we will air 9 of them, and then we'll wait like 6 months, and then air another freaking like 7 of them. So they're able to drag.
You can do your math.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I was good, right? They were able to drag a 16, three additional episodes of a six,
right.
Like, tack on three additional episodes, and they were able to drag essentially 2 viewing seasons out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that with Rescue Me too. They did that a lot. Like they only did it for the last season. Yeah, they did this with The Shield too. They filmed 22 episodes and then they split them up, and
right.
They were able to use it for 2 years. So they're definitely able to. I think cable is definitely capable of stretching their budget a little more.
Right.
I don't know. I think Burn Notice is a lot of the shows that are on USA, they're well-produced shows. They're, like, quality shows. Burnos is filmed on location in Miami versus CSI Miami, which is in Vancouver. And,
it can only be well-produced to a point, right? Because then
yeah.
it'll be bleeding money.
Right. Right. So that's why they start stretching the like the seasons and things like that, I guess. Like, they don't have to pay them for two seasons. They just bleed two seasons out of a 16-episode season.
I think there's too many. I think my issue is that there's too many channels. There's too many channels, and they all want their original
cable.
No, I didn't. I didn't get cable until seventh grade.
Well, I didn't have cable until college.
But yeah, my point is, even when I had, when we got cable, and it wasn't Comcast when I got it, it was Pop Vision. There were still only 75 channels.
Now there's
850 channels. Obviously there's different variations of the same channel. But say there's 200 channels, they all want their original programming. And because they don't want to put out money for original programming, it's reality shows. Like, where do I go on the History Channel anymore to watch things about things that happened in the past? You put on the History Channel and it's Pawn Star, 4.5 hours of Pawn Stars, followed by 3.5 hours of Axemen. It's like, no, this is not history.
Right. Right. I know.
And,
what you mean.
Like, I get, like, it's part of rebranding. They're not, you know, you look at the logo and it doesn't say History Channel anymore. It just says H. Clearly, that's the History Channel H. So I'm not an idiot.
Well, you're old enough. But
so what?
When Amy's kids start understanding and they know how to surf the channel, they're just like, oh, turn to channel H. And we're like, H? Like, what are you talking about? H! You know, H!
Like, I like Mythbusters. That's technically a reality program.
Yeah, it's on Discovery.
But Mythbusters is awesome.
It's not even anymore. Now it's, oh, we have two design teams and they're going to compete against each other.
Is that what it is now?
Hosted by Janie Heinemann and the other guy.
It only took, they already did that for, they were doing, that was like a 3-season transition, though. They were slowly making it.
Like, Discovery Channel is not even Discovery Channel anymore. I gotta wait, like, 4 years between big, like, events where they show, Planet Earth and Life and, Frozen Seas, Frozen Planet, which was rehashing of stuff they showed on Planet Earth.
Maybe you would think that, like, those things, you know, they're probably not very cheap to film those, like, big epic, nature films. So,
I get you have to wait years between that stuff. Like, but it's still Discovery Channel. You should be able to go there and watch, I don't have to wait a year between Shark Weeks.
Why don't you just make a shark year? No. I'm just saying
there was a time when you put on the Discovery Channel and it was sharks, and you put on the History Channel and it was Nazis. And now you put on the History Channel and it's Pawn Stars, you put on the Discovery Channel and it's, whatever reality show they have.
Yeah, I think it's just that you...
Somebody's boring-ass job that
the people, the people that watch, Mythbusters and Dirty Jobs, I don't even know if they're on the same network or not, but, those people that's the advertisers and stuff, that's the money that they get to buy, like Planet Earth and, that kind of stuff. So it definitely benefits things at the end, I think.
It was so much simpler. Like, the TV in my parents' basement didn't have a remote control. I had a knob. And, I had 3, 6, 12, 10... 6, 10, 12, 17, and then the UHF channels.
Yeah, I still have that at my parents' house.
Absolutely. It was so much easier.
I still have that here. You press like 6 buttons, and you're like, I'm back to where I was before.
I feel like such a like a fuddy-duddy, but like it was so much easier when you didn't. But people had to compete to get on these channels, and make a good show to get on these channels. Now it's, well, I'll just pitch it to everyone, and maybe it'll get picked up by whatever channel.
Yeah, yet really good shows get picked up, and then they get canceled, and that's about it.
Or, like, mediocre shows get picked up by the E! Network because they have an open slot between 9 and 9:30.
Hey, man, people love reality shows. It's really crazy. It just happens. I'm pretty sure there are a lot of people who just sit around on Sundays and watch the marathon.
I don't get it.
But
I can't. Like,
I don't either. That's why I don't watch them either. So I'm like,
No, I don't get it.
My wife watches The Bachelorette. And It's not so much that she likes watching The Bachelorette. She likes watching it with me sitting next to her, making derivative comments about the people on the show.
You should watch The Glass House, then.
I don't want to watch it.
Well, listen, this is one guy in the first episode. I watched it for, I don't know if I told you this last week, but I watched it for 15 minutes. And in the first 2 minutes, one guy said, I'm going to leave it up to these guys because they're smart. They're book smart. I'm not book smart. He's like, you know, he was like, I'm street smart, not common sense smart.
What's the difference?
There isn't. And I said, I will give you 5 more minutes to not be retarded. And then I turned it off 5 minutes later.
It's just, I don't know.
So much I for street smarts. Street smarts.
And he was a cop, too.
Stupidity has no bias.
I feel like the premium channels like AMC and FX are becoming what 3, 6, and 10 used to be, where they would, even if a show didn't have a good first year, they would let it breathe, let it gain its feet, and, you know, let it become a success. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, the big 3 channels now any days are like, or even, you know, including Fox and CW, it's like, oh, it's not making me money, take it off, we'll put on a reality show.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I was saying before. I found the guy's name. His name is Kyle Killen, and he created, you know, he created the show Awake, and he created the show Lone Star, which only lasted one episode. But right. It's because the shows are too complicated, and they don't – you have to give them time for those shows to kind of build out and grow, you know? Like even for the show Awake, it kind of took a couple – 2 or 3 episodes to, like, build out and kind of grow into itself. But a lot of – but by then, it was already too late. They were like, you know, we can't deal with the show anymore. It's not getting its foot.
It can't be too complicated when it starts. You know what I mean?
I think I mean,
the X-Files was a complicated show.
But it lasted for 9 seasons.
It didn't start out complicated. Yeah. Right. It started out as Monster of the Week, like Friends did.
I feel like
it was like it became more complicated as the years went on. But you can't start the show like I feel like the success of Lost was a once in a lifetime event. And now everyone is trying to catch that lightning in a bottle, where it starts off super complicated.
Lost actually started very, very simple, very simply. These guys,
and there was a plane crash
into a plane. They plane crash. They're all together and they're all friends. And they're together now. And then they see some crazy thing happening off in the woods, and that's the premise.
Was advertised as a simple
the thing. Conflict the conflict no, was I, really
it
engaging.
Was advertised as what is the island, you know, what are these people have doing here.
I think it was a basic enough of a premise, but I disagree that it can't be complicated. Like, there are shows
it can
that
be
are
complicated.
Complicated
it has to be
not
engaging
just, not
it has to be engaging enough to get the people that are watching it involved really quick. So if the conflict is not something that people can relate to, I mean, everybody's gone on an airplane flight. If they don't, they know people who have or whatnot.
Okay.
And so the idea of falling out of a, you know, out of the sky and landing on an island somewhere and be like, we're removed from our family and our friends and everything that we know. I mean, that's engaging because you're like, oh, wow, what are these people going to do? They're stuck on an island. And then they keep on building on that mystery. Oh, wait a second. Were they actually put there? Wait a second. Was this, you know, so they built on those things and made you question and drew you in. And that it made it complicated as they went. Obviously.
But, and ever since Lost was a success, it seems like other shows are, you know, coming out with a premise that seems pretty complicated, and, you know, the show can't catch its legs, and even by the time it does, it's canceled. Like, Flash Forward and The Event and Alcatraz and, you know, whatever.
No, Alcatraz was just boring. But it wasn't complicated.
No, it wasn't. I liked it.
It was still, it was, the premise is still that it was a complicated show, and right. obviously J.J. Abrams' name was tied to it, so you know it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. One that actually, like, I guess I just like complicated, like, shows, and
I guess I just like
to take the time to dissect them. I guess, like, I do enjoy more cable, like, type shows. But I do understand what you mean. Like, there's a, definitely a large population that just, like, I just want to be able to sit there and zone out and still understand what's happening. Because the one thing that I remember, the one thing mostly was the pilot of Dollhouse, right? If you've ever seen the original pilot, it's essentially off, like, the first 4 or 5 episodes in one episode. And Fox was like, look, Joss Whedon, this show is too complicated. There's like 4 different storylines going on here. You're going to have to split this up into 4 episodes. And that's why, after the 4th episode, that show actually got good. And things actually started right. happening. Because he's like, look, this is what's going to happen. Like, so the rest of the 13-episode season was essentially just his, like, 2 episodes, 2 or 3 episodes he had mapped out for the one season.
Wow.
So I think I think it has a lot to do with that people are starting to get into these, like, networks are starting to treat their viewers as dumb, and they're like, we got to make this uncomplicated. And then once a very good complicated show comes along, it doesn't find its audience because people are like, oh, this is too complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they have to build up to that complication. Because I never got into Lost at the very beginning. It took until, I think, season 2, maybe even to season 3, before I actually decided, you know what? That actually is doing pretty good. I should go back and watch it. I didn't start on the first episode. And so if you didn't, you were lost. That's what I was told. I was like, oh, yeah, I tried watching it right in the middle of it. I was like, I was lost. I had no idea what the heck was going on. I was Lost.
I watched the first season here and there. I don't watch every episode. And it was like, oh, backstory. Here's how I got to the island. Here's the people I met before I got to the island. Here's the magic numbers. Blah, blah, blah.
And it was like,
No. I watched the whole episodes that I watched. And it was,
you didn't watch the season.
Boring. But then I watched the season finale of the first season, and it was like, oh, I found this dynamite. Explode. I was like, okay, now I'm engaged. This show can be pretty cool. And it was like, oh, we found this hatch, blah, 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 blah. Let's go down to the hatch. What's going on in this hatch? And I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to watch, you know, this is more engaging because there's questions and this and that. And then the second season starts, and it's more backstory. Flashbacks, and this is how this person, you know, I met this person before I got to the island, and blah, 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 and it was just like, I don't care. Just, you know, move the story forward, but give me questions so I'm engaged.
Well, that's what people were pissed about in the third season. They just kept giving more questions and not enough answers. So then they have to start giving answers.
I could deal with too many questions. It's too much of, you know, if you start off with, this is how people get on the island. I think that you should continue with, you know, if they're going to be on the island, don't show them before they were on the island.
Well, I mean,
you know,
have them talk
to each other about how they got to the island.
It was essentially how they built their characters and how they got to where they are and how they got onto the plane and things like that. And now, backstory, the way they do that, the way Lost did the backstory, that was, like, groundbreaking the way they did it. How to develop characters, right?
I hated it.
And now, almost every show does it.
Really?
A lot of shows do backstories like that. And even, like, I was watching, I actually started watching Falling Skies. I blew through the first
Falling Skies,
in like 3 days. And
yeah.
In the season opener, they did a backstory about what happened to him for 3 months through a flashback. Like while he was
sick and like he's
so
it made sense though because he was like, you know,
hallucinating essentially.
He's, you know, he's either having dreams or what he's remembering while he's sick, and you know, he hasn't even woke up the whole time he was out. Yeah. So it was like telling his story, and I was like, I was all right with that. I really was.
I was okay with it, but I'm just saying that a lot of shows now employ that type of idea, like, oh, you know, we're gonna get from here to there and there to here through the concept of telling those kinds of flashback stories. I mean, it's not cold case type design. It's like, it's just, it shows their motivations.
Yeah, and right now, it just, it's the fad right now, is that's the way that they're telling stories. It's not the only way to tell backstory. It's not the only way to make your characters build them up by showing their backstory.
And that's
you can also, that's not the only thing that you can use to create a care for your characters, but
yeah,
it seems like that's kind of the fad right now, is to use that because of Lost,
yeah,
like you
Lost
said.
Just, I mean, the event did it as well, and it was just, like, terrible. So,
because you don't have to go into the past to tell about a character's motivation and what they're doing now. You just have to make your conflicts today matter for what is going to happen to build his character today, which means your conflicts and what the situations that you're putting the characters in have to happen now rather than in the past.
Right.
It's different way of thinking, and you have to reshuffle things around, but you know, you can do it.
I feel like that's something that turns me off to certain shows is when they advertise and it's like basically screaming at me, if you like Lost, then you might like this show. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't like Lost, so I didn't like Lost, so I'm not even going to watch
it. That's a huge issue. Lost is polarizing, just like 24 was. You either love the show or you hated the show. And
I liked both.
That was it. You either liked it or you didn't, and that was it.
It's funny because I really liked 24 and I hated Lost.
I know. But there are a lot of people who are, you know, serialized shows are like that, though. If you don't like serialized,
24 was one that did it like today. Like they told the conflict that was happening as it happened. There wasn't a lot of backstory to that. I mean, every once in a while you did have a couple of them.
They told it through the story, yeah.
They told it through what was happening this moment, this now. This is what the characters are facing. These are the decisions they're making. And because of that, you know, this is how the character is being built up. Very rarely did they go back and tell backstory.
They did. Yeah,
they did it more. They did it more in the seasons went on. Like they went back to, you know, Jack is being motivated by the memory of his wife, so he goes back and remembers something better. You know, that type of thing. But, you know, they did not rely on it as heavily as Lost did.
Right. I feel like that's poor. I don't want to say it's poor, but it's not good writing when you have to show why your characters make a decision because of, you know, where they were before this moment. If you can't explain through that moment why they're doing what they're doing and then past that, then it shows me that you in your mind you're like, but I don't why am I showing this person do this? And it's like, I'll show them doing this in the past, as opposed to moving the story forward and having them do that and then have it explain it through their actions as it goes on.
Yeah. It's almost like, well, if that's where the story of the character is, why aren't we taking place back then instead of right now?
It's like the prequels of Star Wars movies. It's like George Lucas is like, oh, these are flashbacks to why Boba Fett is the way he is, and why Darth Vader is the way he is, where you're watching Star Wars and you're like, oh, I don't really need to know that about him to enjoy this movie. But then it's like, oh, but it's all character development for characters you see in the second set of movies, where it's like, you know, you can tell the story through those.
Yeah.
You don't need to show the character development already.
I think it worked, like, it goes back to, you know, it works for certain things, it doesn't work for certain things. Like, it worked, in my opinion, it worked for Lost, but Star Wars 1, 2, and 3 didn't work really all that well for me. And because it was, you were already so, they already did such a great job with 4, 5, and 6 to engage you in those characters, and through 4, 5, and 6 you were able to know their motivations, and you were able to find out why they were like that. Like, you didn't need to know that Anakin used to be a good person before he became a bad person, because he was a good person at the end of six. You don't need to know that, you know, he was angry and he killed his wife, blah blah blah. He broke her heart,
literally.
Yeah, you don't need to know. You know, he burned his legs off. Who cares? You know, I don't need to know that. You know, it works for certain genres and it doesn't for certain shows, and it's just the way it's executed.
Like, obviously, I didn't watch Lost religiously, so my mom did. So, like, I would be downstairs watching Alias or whatever, and then whatever came on after Alias on a different channel.
I don't care what it is, as long as it's not Lost, right?
Right. and I'll go upstairs. My mom would be watching Lost, and I'd be like, "What are you watching?" And she would say, "Oh, I'm watching Lost." And I'm like, "Aren't they on an island? Why is this guy in a bar talking to this guy?" And she's like, "Oh, this is a flashback." And then it's like, oh, "Okay, a flashback." And then it's like the next week, "Oh, this is a flashback." And then the next week, "Oh, this is a flashback."
I think you need to watch it from beginning.
I'm not going to do it.
Then they'll do it. Yeah, but I don't. I think it.
It's just like I said. You had to see it from the very beginning to get all of that, because the backstory is what really supports what's going on right now. And not only that, is it makes the mystery, because the coincidence of everybody kind of having some sort of connection behind them. But it was also based off an idea. It was like the 8 degrees of separation type of thing. So it was kind of a little bit of a premise that they were already using to begin with. But I mean,
I don't know. When I look at something like that, I'm like, oh, they're already connected because they were all on a plane that crashed. That's their connection. But at what point does telling backstory to have character development hinder the plot from moving forward? And I feel like that's what I was upset about. I was like, they're not moving the plot at all. They're just doing character development, character development, character development, and you really care about these characters, and they're just sitting on an island waiting for you to get to the story.
Eventually they do get to. I mean, yeah.
Things do move on the island, though, like throughout an episode.
Oh, I know.
Ones, obviously, in a 22-episode season, things do move a little slower in certain episodes. But maybe you've gotten lucky and you caught the ones that didn't move along as well. But I think especially in the latter seasons, it definitely, along with the flashbacks or the flash sideways or whatever they call them, it definitely kept the story on the island consistently progressed and went towards something meaningful.
Well, and I'd say Lost is definitely what you would say is a very character-driven story, whereas 24 seemed to be more of a conflict-driven story, where you had characters doing things because of the conflict that was happening upon them, and because of that, they make these decisions. So it's like, it's a difference between, it's just a different premise set up for a show, so.
But then, like, again, there's so much character development with these characters that when the show finally ends, people hated it, because...
I didn't. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay, but listening to the show and listening to one of the radio...
Either you hated it, you had a bad reaction to it, or you loved it. So it was either one or the other, because I've heard both, too. So
I feel like a lot of what I heard was...
We're very polarizing, like you said, Peter.
Most people hated it, and it's like, you put all this effort into these characters, and then it's like a slap in the face the way it ended, because it didn't end... You cared about these characters, and it's like, oh, they're...
But everything dies! What's the big deal?
It ended the only way it could have ended, truthfully.
Yes, it did, Yeah,
it ended the only
right, but
truthfully ended
okay,
the only
but
way.
I mean,
I understand why they were. I understand why they were upset. I personally believe that they misinterpreted what happened.
I know. Yeah, but
so
what I'm saying is, like, you put a lot of character development, and then if you can't put that character development into a way to send off the characters that you either people either appreciate or agree with as a whole, then to spend more time with the character development in the show.
I think that's the same as...
You can like a character without knowing every aspect of how they got to the island.
I think that's the same as how people hated the ending of The Sopranos. They're like, you put so much time into developing this character, and it ended on a black screen.
I got a lot of people misinterpreted it. And
exactly.
It wasn't – well, it also wasn't filmed correctly.
Well, I mean, obviously that idea is still obvious.
It wasn't obvious that him and his whole family got killed as it should have been.
Right, but it wasn't
– I think if they showed him and his whole family getting killed in that restaurant, then people would have been, okay, that's a good ending.
But
that's
the
only way it could have ended.
But, I mean, the creator never said specifically, like, they all die.
Yeah, he did. Idea, David Milch.
Oh, wow.
He said...
Do you really need to see them all dead, though? Sorry. These are questions that you have to ask yourself when things happen, so it's like, oh.
I mean, it's HBO and it's The Sopranos. Everybody dies.
I never saw it, so I know the ending now.
Yeah, it's not that. I mean,
that's all
right. But that's an example of another polarizing ending, but I mean...
Controversial.
I think it's the same idea,
People talk.
There are some people who are I mean, I truthfully...
The ending was lost was that they were all already dead.
No. That's not how... It was only the one, the flash sideways that they were dead. Everything that happened on the island actually happened. And he says it straight out at the end. He says, everything that happened was real, but everybody has to die sometime. And the issue, and the flash sideways was essentially purgatory, or... Like, every time I think of purgatory, I think of, like, flames and stuff everywhere, but, like, it's just their souls were trapped in one spot. They were trapped in a spot, and they were all waiting for each other to come together, so until they all died, they could have died when they were 100, they could have died when they were 50, it doesn't matter. Or they could have died when Jack died, when he was, like, 35 or whatever. And they all met, and then an impact on each other while they were on the island that they waited for each other to ascend to heaven is essentially what happened.
So they went together.
Yeah,
basically.
They all went together. They weren't dead on the island. That's not true. What happened on the island was true.
Okay.
And all that crazy stuff.
Was complicated enough that if you weren't really paying attention, you didn't get that. Yeah.
Exactly. I had to watch it like after the end of the series, I was like, I don't get it. And I had to watch it again. And that's essentially what happened. Like, so what the show that you're talking about, they misinterpreted it as everybody's dead.
Right.
They were all dead the whole time, and it's not the truth.
But, like, even with a show like I watched Dexter, I don't know if either of you watched Dexter.
I've seen episodes, I haven't gotten to it in completely, but yeah, go ahead.
There's a lot of character development in that show, and it's not through flashbacks or anything like that. It's just through the characters' actions and what goes on in the show. But they announced that it was going to end after the 8th season, which the next season coming up is the 7th season. And so after the next 2 seasons is going to end, and it's like, how are they going to end it? Obviously, I mean, in my mind, there's only one real way that they can end it. But through the character development, people have to agree that that's, you know, I don't know. The ending of a show is always very polarizing because people like their characters. So they either want to see them all live, they want to, you know, see them die justly, or whatever.
They want to have a satisfying ending, and if they're left unsatisfied, then they're upset about it, and, you know, then they rage. Like,
people, I mean, they say that MASH is one of the greatest endings of any show ever, and my mom absolutely hates it, because it treated the main character with a lot of disrespect.
Right.
Basically, the Korean War ended, or his time at the Korean War was over, and they brought him back home, and he went crazy, and he ended up in a mental institution. And the show is a comedy.
Yeah, that's a very sad way to...
It's a very heavy ending.
Yeah.
And it's not...
Well, a comedy, yeah. That's very heavy, yeah.
I think an ending of the show has to respect the characters and respect the viewers and show them, you know,
something that
makes sense. Like, obviously, the...
Relative to the people that are watching it and the writers, too. Go ahead.
The ending to Saint Elsewhere, which is a hospital drama, all of it was inside of an autistic boy's brain who was staring at a snow globe.
Crazy.
Oh,
again, it's treating the characters a lot of disrespect because you're saying, oh, none of it really happened.
Yeah. I think it comes
obviously, none of it really happened as a TV show.
You and I have had this conversation before where it's like...
Right.
Nobody knows how long these shows are going to last. And they have, like, oh, wouldn't it be a great idea if we explored this? And then they get to the point where they're like, oh, crap, we have to end it.
We have to end it somehow, so let's get creative. Like, woohoo!
I didn't really get the need for a fantastic ending to a show series. Like, obviously, something like Lost has to have something where it wraps everything up, because there's a lot of questions in that show.
Yeah.
I think The Wire had a really good ending, where it just showed everyone moving on with their lives.
X-Files never had an ending. They left you completely unsatisfied,
right,
but it was
right.
Like, that was the end.
Yeah.
Right.
But now that I'm back and look at it, I don't think I could have imagined it any other way. All those questions out there, that was the whole point, was just the questions are out there. You have to go out and look for them.
Right.
And there may or may not be an answer. I was like, okay.
Mad Men's going to be another one where everyone's going to demand a fantastic ending to it. But
you already know how it's going to end.
I do?
Yeah. He's already...
Oh, Matthew Weiner does. Yeah.
He's already said how it's going to end.
Oh, I know.
Or how he'd like it to end. Whether or not he's going to do it that way, who knows.
Right, but like, really, all they had to do was just show them continuing to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, they just said, essentially, he said, I'm going to show him being old.
Right.
This is essentially how it's going to end. It's like, okay, that's one way, but how are you going to get there? Like, and it's...
I mean, you can get there any way you want.
It's a flash forward instead of flashback.
Right. It's going to be the ABC show.
But I mean, as long as the ending to a show makes sense to the way that the whole show was done, then
yeah,
it can be done well.
Yeah.
Well, these are the mindsets that, you know, writers need to be aware of when they write. They can't just, you know, you have to look at, because the audience is key. If the audience doesn't like it, then it doesn't matter what you say or what you do. They'll either bank on it or they'll just be not happy with it or whatnot. So it's like, as a writer of whatever genre you're in, whether it be movies or books or comics or whatnot, it's a good idea to have an idea of how people who watch it react to it and get the reaction that you want, hopefully, generally, in the majority, is to have a good reaction rather than a bad reaction. So it's stuff that you have to think about when you write stuff. You know, how is the majority of our viewers or our readers going to take this as opposed to that?
I think one of the best things... Right. I think one of the best things you could do is...
The point is to have a greater high than you started with that mirrors the amount of low that you had. So it's, you know, you have the payoff that's up high enough that you're like, okay, regardless of what happened, I like generally am pretty positive about how this show went. So I'm like, maybe the ending wasn't exactly the way I wanted, but they did a lot of other things great. But sometimes people can't get over how the ending is. So it's like, right. You know,
yeah.
It depends on how high the payoff is. If the payoff is high enough, then it'll overshadow all the things that happened that you didn't like. But if the payoff is so high and then the negative is higher than that, then it doesn't matter how great it was all the way up to that point. It will completely make people hate it, regardless of what happened, because if your high isn't high enough. So
yeah.
It's psychological right there, and it's... I just need to have that. You know, hopefully they do their research and they know this when they go into writing.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but hey. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a really grand discussion. That was that was really good.
That took a whole hour. I'm surprised.
It divulged into many different things, but it was great. It definitely was definitely very good. So
it's a show in a nutshell.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So everyone, watch Necessary Roughness.
No, that is not the USA Does.
That's the moral.
Yeah, that's the moral of the story. Go watch Necessary Roughness, and you'll know what we're talking about.
Right. Watch a commercial for Necessary Roughness, and you'll understand.
Just go ahead. Just look for Necessary Roughness. Okay, well, that's great. So we'll wrap up. And, that is the end of episode 29. So for John Denny, Amy Morgan, definitely let us know what you think about television and cable versus network at screenview at tfradio.net or on Twitter at Screenview Show. See you guys next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to ScreenView. ScreenView is a radio-free Cybertron production. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at tfradio for news and updates. Watch our live stream at tfradio.net/live. Join our Facebook fan page at facebook.com/tfradio. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, TF Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Leave it on our Facebook fan page or mail it to contact@tfradio.net. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.